Hi guys! My name is Burns Ocasi, isa po akong dating anti-Catholic Protestant. Welcome to the Unboxing Catholicism Podcast. Alam niyo po ba na meron tayong crisis sa catechesis or crisis in catechesis? Maraming Pilipino ang umaalis sa simbahang Katolika dahil hindi nila lubusang nauunawaan ang mga turo ng pananampalataya. Join us every week as we journey together in unboxing the biblical truths and the beauty of Catholicism so that we can defend it clearly without being preachy.
Alright, dear unboxers, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you're watching from. We are back with our Unboxing Catholicism Live Guided Prayer and short get-together with our Community Spiritual Director, Father Cayo Estrada. We are very, very thankful to have him with us. And let us just give some time for our stream to go through our media partners so that more people can join us. And in the meantime, I want to introduce, of course, you already know him, our co-host in the program, Voltaire de los Reyes of the Noisy Sheep Podcast. How's everything going, Voltaire?
Good evening, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon. No? So medyo better health, you know. I guess hindi alam ng unboxers, pero yun yung usapan namin usually nila, Brent, sa background. I'm sorry, mataas yung blood pressure ko right now. No? But getting better, okay na. My cough is gone as well. So thank you. Thank God talaga. No? And I'm excited tonight. No, actually, one of my favorite segments ba tawag natin? No? One of my favorite segments in unboxing is having our guided meditation with Father Cayo. It's always enriching for me. No?
Amen. And speaking of being enriched, today is a grace-filled moment as well because we are celebrating a very important feast day, which is the Feast of Christ the King. No? Yes. So happy feast day sa'yo, Volt, at sa ating viewers.
Yes. It's very one of my favorite feasts actually, ang Christ the King. No? Especially, of course, we have the Feast of the Body and Blood of Jesus Christ. Pero, of course doing Christ the King, they also, a lot of the parishes also do a procession of the Eucharist. Eh. And
amen.
Ramdam na ramdam, no? Parang the King is having the procession around the community. And it's just really right for me, no? Seeing that in front of you, my King, talagang mapapabaw ka, mapapagenuflect ka when Jesus passes through sa bahay mo. And I hope more parishes do that. It's really a great way to celebrate the feast of Christ the King, in my opinion.
That's right. And another great way for us to celebrate is to deepen our personal understanding of this great feast day, of this great solemnity. And we do that through the help of our spiritual director who will try to unbox further the mysteries of this great truth of our faith, of having Christ as our King. Kaya po sa mga nanonood sa iba't ibang panig ng daigdig ngayon sa ating live broadcast, pati na rin po sa replay at nakikinig sa Spotify and those who are watching on YouTube, we invite you to set aside some silent time for us to get together with the Lord and have an intimate conversation with Him. Meron po kayong notebook. Ilabas po kayo yung mga notebook para po unti-unti tayong lumalim sa ating pananampalatay by jotting down notes. And then at the end, if you have questions, we can accommodate them in our short get-together. And excited kami, no? Medyo pahapyaw, Voltaire. Because soon, we will have an on-site personal gathering where you can meet Father Cayo as well. And he can even hear your confession. So, wag na nating patagalin, no? I'll introduce everyone. Father Cayo Estrada. Hello, Father Cayo. How's everything?
Hello. Hi. Yeah, good evening. Good evening. Happy Feast of Christ the King to everyone.
Happy Feast Day, Father. We are very thankful that you have been with us since we started 3 years ago. Thanks be to God. And now we give you the floor for our online guided prayer.
Yes. Okay. So we can begin with the opening prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I beg your pardon for my sins and the grace to spend this time of prayer fruitfully. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Well, good evening to everyone in this guided prayer or meditation, as we call it. We are going to talk with our Lord about the feast we are celebrating today, and an old feast that has been established some time ago, in order to highlight the importance of Christ our King. You might wonder, but why is it important to highlight the feast of Christ the King? And moreover, perhaps you may not realize that why in the liturgical year was this solemnity placed at this particular period of time, practically at the end of the liturgical year, or on the last week of the liturgical year before we enter the Advent season. There's a meaning for that also. But maybe first of all, let us go to the opening prayer or the collect of the Mass today. And here in the liturgy, the church, the priest, representing all of the people present, prays, Almighty, ever-living God, whose will is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of the universe, grant, we pray, that the whole creation, set free from slavery, may render your majesty service and ceaselessly proclaim your praise. So here in the collect of the Mass, the theme of the feast is already enunciated. It is announced. The restoration of all things in Christ. In fact, this is a direct quote from the definition of this particular feast, the declaration of this feast, that instaurare omnia in Christo, that is the phrase that was used by the Holy Father. And so to restore all things in Christ. Why? Because after original sin, creation went away from God. It's all creation, man evidently, but all created world also. That is why now, after that original sin, there is an absence of harmony in the lives of persons, and that is why we feel the pull of sin. And all creation also is in a little bit of chaos, and we see that in the natural disasters and everything. So now, with Christ's kingship, the objective is to restore all things in Him, because all things have come in and through Him. We know that from the Gospel of St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and so forth. So, having separated from God, now Jesus Christ has restored all things with His passion, death, and resurrection. So we are in fact celebrating Christ as King of the universe insofar as His human nature is concerned. Because as God, there is no need to declare Him King. He already, as God, is Lord of everything. But then, in His human nature, because of what He has accomplished, the work of redemption, then now you and I have been taken out from slavery, and now we are subjects of this King. Now, maybe it would be good to have a certain comparison, because, of course, maybe you might have read or watched in movies how kings are or have been. Evidently, not all kings were good kings, or even if they were good, they always had their failures also. But perhaps in the sacred scriptures, maybe the kings that we're familiar with are King Solomon and King David, the ones who stand out. In fact, Jesus Christ is a descendant of King David himself. He belongs to the line of David. And of course, we know David committed sins also, a very grievous one at that. But then he repented. But his kingdom was one of the greatest. So usually, when there is a king, there are subjects of the king. And in the way usually kings get their subject is they conquer territory, they occupy territory. And so, of course, in the olden times, this would have meant wars. I mean, there was no such thing as a peaceful occupation of territory. There always have been battles, struggles in the history of mankind. This also is a consequence of original sin, all of these wars. But then, if the king is a good one, how lucky the subjects are because they are treated well. And if that king, like Charlemagne, for example, who was known to be one of the better kings in medieval history, so then he not only defended the Catholic Church, but he spread the faith also. But of course, even then, he conquered. And of course, I'm sure that not everybody was in favor of Charlemagne, no matter how favorable he was to the Catholic Church. That's pretty obvious also in history. But then once you become a subject of the king, if the king is a good king, then everything goes well. Now, in this particular case, you and I, because we have been redeemed by Christ the King, then you and I are subjects of the most perfect king possible. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, which was already established by Christ here on earth, but has to still reach its fulfillment at the end of time. And for that reason, the gospel of today talks about the last judgment, when the king is going to judge how his subjects have been treated here on earth. As long as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me. That would be the main lesson of the gospel of today, at least for this year, for year A, for the cycle of year A. So yes, how good it is to be subjects of Christ the King. But then, of course, one also thinks, this is not just simply an abstract idea. Like an abstract idea would be, let's say, if you were to watch a movie about kings and their battles and their accomplishments, that's abstract because you are not part of it. You just consider it. But in the case of Jesus as king, there are practical consequences for that. But let us consider some of the more important ones that stand out. First of all, what sort of king is Jesus? Well, remember when he entered Jerusalem and people cried out, Hosanna to Christ their king. Of course, the people were thinking of a temporal kingdom. In the minds of the Jews, the Messiah had come to free the Jews from the Roman Empire because they were colonized by the Romans. And so, of course, they hated the Romans because the Romans taxed them. Of course, the Romans were actually, in general, benevolent, but they could also be cruel, especially when dealing with evil or injustices. But let's say, in general, the Roman rule tended to be generally not a peaceful rule, except for the persecutions of Christians and so forth. But then let's go back to what we were considering earlier. Christ the King, they thought that he was supposed to be a temporal king who would reestablish the kingdom of Israel, which had been lost or which had been destroyed and occupied. But that was not the kingdom that Christ came to establish. Remember when Pilate was asking, are you a king? You say, I am. But my kingdom is not of this world. See, that is the thing. People did not get that. His kingdom was not of this world. But maybe they should have been attentive to details. Like, for example, imagine Jesus going around in a humble way. What king at that time would ever go around the way Jesus did? Perhaps if they were to compare Jesus with King Herod, the Herods were cruel people. They were cruel kings. The way we know that one of the Herods was the one who went after Jesus himself when he was still a baby in order to kill the child. So those are the kings that they were thinking of, or that they were exposed to. But then here comes Jesus dressed very simply, and he enters Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Of all animals, a beast of burden, when perhaps he could have entered with pomp and splendor, maybe dressed more properly rather than in that manner of dressing that he had. He could have maybe been accompanied by throngs of soldiers. But no, he entered riding on a donkey. Maybe they could already have seen that. Well, this must be a different sort of king, and his kingdom ought to be different. So imagine their disappointment when now Christ is put to death. And all of them, their dreams are shattered. For them, everything is over. Even the apostles did not grasp the importance of that particular event or they did not understand what Jesus really was. So that is why you and I, in the very first place, we have to realize the kingdom of Christ, which already has begun here on earth, is of a different sort. It is not a kingdom of wealth, of power. Rather, it is a kingdom of humility, a kingdom of service. And this king, Christ himself, came to serve. That is why the model in ecclesiastical circles, which has circulated in past years, of the servant leader, and the church, that is very much in harmony with what the church has taught about the triple function of Christ. If you remember, priest, prophet, and king. So the kingship there of Jesus is not the kingship of commanding, of controlling. Rather, it is a kingship of service, of giving oneself for others. And that is why, because this king has given up his life for us, you and I are saved. We now have been ransomed. We have been redeemed from the clutches of the devil, from the clutches of evil. So therefore, we have to realize this is the best kingdom we can form part of, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Would you rather be part of this kingdom, or would you rather be part of a human kingdom under human power where all sorts of different things can happen? I mean, very often we have elections, or rather regularly we have elections, and then, of course, people are never satisfied with the person who gets elected. There always are complaints, there are there's wishful thinking, and of course all leaders also have their own defects and their own weaknesses. But here in this kingdom of Jesus, how we are treated with love, because it is a kingdom of service. So that is why one of the first lessons we can draw from this, if we are going to be part of this kingdom, we have to learn how to serve like Jesus Christ. As subjects of the king, we serve the king in others. That is why in the gospel, our Lord says, as long as you did it to the least of my brethren, you did it to me. So that is what it means to serve Jesus Christ. It is not just simply that abstract idea of, I pray to Jesus, I want to follow him, and that's all well and good. Well, no. I also have to realize I have to do something about the people around me. I have to bring them also to this kingdom of Jesus, and therefore I have to be of service to them. More than lording it over them or controlling them, I have to be of service. I have to bring the kingdom of Christ to many other souls around me. So that can be the first resolution we get. Lord, may we really want to establish your reign here on this earth. It is maybe to go deeper into this matter. Some families have this practice of installing the statue of Christ the King. There are, in fact, prayers that accompany that installation of the statue of Christ the King in homes. And I think it is a beautiful custom. Why? Because in those prayers, the family entrusts themselves to Christ the King. May he reign over their homes. A kingdom of justice, a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of harmony, a kingdom of love. Of course, what happens actually in the home may be a far reality from this type of kingdom that Jesus wants to establish. And that is where you and I come in. We want to see to it that in the different places we are in, as soldiers of Christ the King, let us establish his kingdom of peace and of joy in the hearts of the many people around us. There is a phrase that St. Osemeria used to use, sowers of peace and joy. And that is what we have to be, sowers of peace and joy, rather than sowers of discord, of hatred. Maybe you might have realized every time, let's say, we talk badly about other people, or we give in to chismis, no? Marites. No? Well, aren't we in fact creating division more than instilling unity and peace? We are dividing because we are introducing elements that make it make it difficult for people to accept one another. But on the other hand, if you and I try to unite, bring people together more than separate, bring them together and make them subjects of Christ the King, well, then we realize how many conversions there can be in this world. So therefore, let us see to it that we bring the reign of Christ to the souls of many other people around us. May he reign over our homes, not only as a statue that is there on display, but in reality, that he really be the head of the home. That's why it is but fitting that, you know, in many institutions, and even, for example, those of you who are familiar with the centers of Opus Dei, there is a tabernacle and a chapel with a Blessed Sacrament there. Because that's the King of the house, Jesus, in the Blessed Sacrament. He's the one who reigns over those institutions or those places where he is present. Of course, perhaps you will never have the opportunity for him to be present in that way in your homes. But let the statue, the image of Christ the King, be a reminder that our Lord is supposed to reign there. He is supposed to be present in the lives of the different people around us, or with the people that you work with in your office, or maybe the people that you get to meet every day because of different things that you have to do. Really, we would want to be like, you know, remember the parable our Lord told about the king who sent his servants to invite guests to the banquet. Several of them gave different excuses. But then the king afterwards said, okay, if that's the case, go to the highways and byways and bring people in. So we imagine ourselves to be like that, not like those servants, the soldiers of the king, bringing people in. Not by force, or rather to put it in another way, gentle forcing, which is not really forcing. It is not coercing, but rather the Latin word would be compelle intrare, make them come in. But then make them come in by invitation. Make people realize, look, you're missing out something here. There's a big banquet that is happening in the church, and you're missing out. And we have to make them see, well, you know, you're going to be much happier in this banquet of Christ the King than in any other celebration, for that matter. Of course, I mean, not that celebrations are wrong. It's good to celebrate. A few days ago, I was celebrating internally for the victory of LaSalle in the UAAP over NU. And so now on to the finals. Of course, I mean, it's a very simple joy, you know, you could put it that way. But nothing wrong with those types of joys. But we also have to understand, but what if you and I, while enjoying the good things of this earth, enjoy them together with Christ the King? And so we bring potluck, no? Imagine you're invited to the banquet. What do you bring to the banquet? But all of the things that you're involved in, the different things that you are doing, the people that you are with, well, these are the ones. Right? So these are that's the potluck, no? the contribution that you have for the banquet of Christ the King. No? And never mind if different things may be brought, no? But that the important thing is that we bring people in to restore all things in Christ. To go back again to that phrase that was used in the declaration of the doctrine of Christ the King. But if this is the case, if we are going to let Christ reign in the hearts and the lives of people, of course we can say, but first of all, he should reign in our hearts, because it would not be credible if one were to say, I want Christ to reign in your heart, not in mine. No? But then, Señor, yes, of course, I encourage it. No? But then me, well, no, maybe I won't participate in this banquet of the King. Well, no, first of all, he has to reign in our hearts. Santa Maria, would put it this way in one of his homilies, precisely the homily on Christ the King. Christ should reign first and foremost in our soul. But how would we reply if he asked us, how do you go about letting me reign in you? And it's a good question to think about. What if Christ were to ask us that? How do you go about letting me reign in you? And then Santa Samaria gives the reply. I would reply that I need lots of his grace. That is so, because Christ cannot reign in us in just any old way. We need his grace, because he is the one who comes to us. He stands on the door and he knocks. And all of that grace is there, very much present. So therefore, you and I can say, well, how can we let Christ reign in us? We need lots of his grace. And then he would continue. Only that way can my every heartbeat and breath, my least intense look, my most ordinary word, my most basic feeling be transformed into a hosanna to Christ, my King. So there's a big difference between the hosannas of the people in Jerusalem acclaiming the Lord when he entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey. What has to be transformed into hosanna to Christ our King? Our every heartbeat and breath, our least intense look, our most ordinary word, our most basic feeling. There is this hymn before in the 60s. Each sigh, each look, each heart of mine may be I forgot the particular phrase. Maybe an act, each act of mine, maybe an act of love divine. That is the way it was put. But that's precisely what we want. We want everything in us to belong to Christ. So, of course, first of all, grace, because it has to transform us from within. It is not just simply we saying, I want to offer up everything to our Lord, because by ourselves we cannot. We need this grace. So, therefore, to let Christ reign in our hearts, first of all, let us see to it that we make use of the channels of grace, which are the sacraments, especially the Eucharist and the sacrament of confession. Why the Eucharist? Because Jesus comes to us physically. Imagine we, in communion, we receive him, and he stays in us until the material of the sacred species disappears. And then penance, why? Because we go away from Christ, we go away from God, and we return to him through the sacrament of confession. So the channels of grace are there. They're open. And so, yes, we make use of those channels of grace so that Christ reigns in our souls. But then, at the same time, we have to say, if I receive our Lord in the Eucharist, and he's supposed to transform me, then little by little, I also have to try to change myself. And so if we maybe continuing this quotation from St. Jose Maria's homily in Christ is Passing By, if we are trying to have Christ as our King, we must be consistent. We must start by giving him our heart. Not to do that and still talk about the kingdom of Christ would be completely hollow. There would be no real Christian substance in our behavior. We would be making an outward show of a faith which simply did not exist. We would be misusing God's name to human advantage. So yes, we must be consistent. What? Consistent with what? Not consistent with the demands of this kingdom. Because how can we form part of the kingdom if we are not consistent in the demands that Christ makes of us? We already have his grace. So therefore, we have to give him our hearts. Now, what's this thing of giving our hearts? Our desires. Where are our desires? What do we desire? What do we long for here on this earth? You know, when we commit sin, I'm sure that we don't desire evil as such, because evil as such cannot be desired. But then, we settle for desires which are lesser than the real good, or which may be misdirected desires. The desires which are not which do not end up in what God really asks of us. So that is why when we talk about the heart, giving our Lord our heart, it means giving him our desires. What should we desire? What Jesus Christ also desires. Of course, this is not something that is lofty, because remember, what did our Lord want? He wanted to save all men. He wanted to be friends with you and me. And so therefore, if we have those very same desires in all that we do, of course, I mean, for sure, we'll never be perfect in this. No? We will reach perfection only in heaven. So we should not be discouraged if we cannot really match the desires of Christ's heart. But we can approximate that in our dealings with others. No? For example, dealing with others with compassion, with charity, with understanding. Isn't that also the way our Lord acted? He had compassion on the woman caught in adultery. He had compassion even on Judas, who betrayed him. His words to Judas were, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? He could have insulted him and lambasted him for what he was doing. His desires on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So you see the heart of Christ. You see where his desires are. So it's not in vengeance. It is not in place and material things. Christ's desires are not the, let me say, the lesser goods here on this earth, which may not lead us directly to God. Christ desires the higher things in life, but making use of the human and noble things to lead to that. So therefore, let us be consistent. Let us see to it that in our way of behaving, you and I follow what Christ loves. That may we love what Jesus loves. May we desire what Jesus desires. May we have the same heart to the measure of his heart. And thus we understand why the gospel of Christ again deals with this. No? If you did it to the least of my brethren, you did it to me. Concern for those who are having difficulties, those who are suffering, the poor. The works of mercy, in other words, are one very good way of helping our brothers who are in need. But then we don't even have to just wait until some opportunity to do the works of mercy arise, because I'm sure we have those opportunities already around us. No? To console a friend who is having difficulty, to be compassionate, understanding with somebody who might be doing wrong things, to try to be helpful to those who may need help, be they our relatives, our classmates, friends around us. All of these are the different ways of establishing Christ's kingdom. People begin to see Christ in us when we live together with other people, serving them the way Christ would have done. So the kingdom of service, servant leader. We go to our dear Mother Mary as we end this meditation. Dear Mother, help us. You are the queen. Jesus is the king. Well, help. You are the queen mother. In fact, that title appears in sacred scriptures in different ways. The daughter of Zion, the queen mother. Well, dear Mother, help us so that we can know what it means to be followers, subjects of Christ the King, Christ your Son, so that we can restore all things in him, reaching out to all of the persons who are far away, bringing them back to your Son, Jesus Christ, to be subjects of this great King of ours. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I beg your help in performing them. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Holy Mary, our hope, seat of wisdom, pray for us.
Hello, mga katambay. This is Coach Dep, and I am inviting you, tara na sa ating tambayan. Ang ating tambayan na siguradong meron ka ang matututunan. We talk about goals, purpose, habits, and this year, let me help you or guide you towards your destination, towards your dreams, towards your goals. Kaya naman, ano pang inaantay mo? magsama na every Saturday dito sa ating tambayan. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Father Cayo Estrada, for that very moving reflection, meditation, guided prayer on the Feast of Christ the King. Vault, as you said, this is a very enriching experience and a challenging one. Napaisip ako doon sa how are we letting Christ reign in our hearts, no? In the words that we say, in the actions that we do. It's difficult, especially we are fallen human beings.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yep.
And our unboxers are sending their thanks and greetings, Father Cayo. So, Aliza Reselis is here. Hello, Aliza. Elaine Gonzalez. Mona Hilton. My mom is also listening. Beth Gonzalez Ordonez. Imelda G. John John Halosos is sending his greetings of Christ the King. And Edward doing the same thing. Lyle is tagging his friend. Hello po sa inyong lahat. Viva Cristo Rey. Again, very interesting points that we are called to restore all things in Christ. And I love that quote, Father Cayo, from Saint Jose Maria, to transform each look or thought into a hosanna. Sometimes it's difficult, no, to bring it to a very practical level, especially in the family, where there may be some misunderstandings with each other, even with friends, no? Even in the workplace or in the church. So, mahirap po yan. Kaya kailangan natin ng grasya. What do you think, Voltaire?
Yeah, definitely, no? But what struck me are two points specifically, no? Yung first is we have a king. Unlike other kings who force themselves to their people, our king is someone who invites and really entices people through his love. And then yung part doon na as a response, parang how are we becoming kings to others as well? No, parang when we are correcting others, are we responding with hate? No, just like the other kings, when they are challenged, they get angry. But because our king, no, is someone who looks after the best of us, no, when he reprimands us, when he corrects us, it comes from that desire of wanting the best for us. That's why there's always love, and it really helps you, you know, appreciate Christ, no, Christ's kingship, no, as someone that's really born out of love instead of anything else, no.
That's Thanks, true, Father Cayo. And we are being led back to the main point and focus of our advocacy in Unboxing Catholicism is to defend the faith clearly without being preachy. To defend the faith is very easy, but the without preachy part is the more difficult one because that's where Christ should reign in our charity.
Yes.
So thank you once again to the Holy Spirit. Of course, no, the Holy Spirit is the one helping us when we pray. Thank you for using his instrument, Father Cayo, for this very wonderful moment of reflection. And Father Cayo, you mentioned about this statue. That is that like the image of the Sacred Heart that's being enthroned? Can you tell us a little bit more about that tradition you mentioned earlier about having an image or a statue of Christ the King?
Well, yeah, one is enthroned. Yeah, one is enthronement of the Sacred Heart, but there is also a lesser known but pious tradition also of of Christ the King. It is a Our Lord seated on the throne with a crown. The statues, as I've seen this in several homes. And then there are prayer books, which in fact are sold in some Catholic books, or like St. Paul's Catholic Trade also has it, which have the prayers for the enthronement of Christ the King. So the Sacred Heart is also possible, but this one is really Christ the King.
Right. I am familiar with the enthronement of Christ the King. Of the Sacred Heart, but the enthronement of Christ Sacred the King Heart is a little bit new to me, and that's interesting. No, perhaps we can.
This lesser known, but there are prayers for that. Yeah.
Right. How wonderful, Vault, Father Cayo, that we have a lot of prayers. So we have this Book of Blessings, which I think has different prayers that a lot of lay people may not be aware of, but it's a treasury of grace for us Catholics.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and as right, we pray so... them, we also learn and really grow. You know? I mean, that's why we really have those prayers. A lot of our brothers question why we do those, but we grow from them, di ba? We learn and grow and deepen our faith.
Yeah. Amen. And speaking of prayer, I hope you guys are familiar with the Hollow app. No, it helps you pray through audio-guided meditations and reflections. And it's free. Just download it and get started. Especially now, it's Advent. We are doing a series of reflections on two very exciting things. No, Simbang Gabi, which is a very, very local Filipino tradition. Mm-hmm. We have 10 sessions prepared for you to bring you through each day of reflection. May additional day, Father Kayo, no, for those who are not familiar, para sa anyo Simbang Gabi, we have an intro session, kaya siya 10 days instead of 9 days. So first day is an intro, and then 9 days of reflection. And then complemented by our Pray 25 Challenge with Jonathan Rumi, no, kung saan babasahin po natin yung mga excerpts from the books written by C.S. Lewis and meditate on Christ's coming and kingship in our life. So very interesting po ang Pray 25 Challenge. And Father, we are excited to announce something very important to our unboxers. And that's our on-site activity, no? So finally, yung ating ginagawa po na online na nakikita nyo si Father Kayo na may box dyan. Nakikita nyo kami naka-box ngayon, tao na po ang makikita ninyo. No? So we have our Advent activity. Kaya ko siya tinawag na Advent activity instead ng Advent recollection kasi para alam nung iba, no, kung ano yung mga mangyayari. No? So there will be in this activity confession, recollection, and mass. Dahil gaganapin po ito sa December 8, Holy Day of Obligation. So you can spend this time with us, 2 p.m. at until siguro mga 5 p.m. Eh, no? And this will be held at the Queen of Angels Chapel in Riverbanks Mall, Marikina City, Diocese of Antipolo. So this is a chance for unboxers from different parts of Metro Manila or nearby municipalities or provinces to get to know us in person, to see Father Kayo, to get to confess, no? And we will have also people there who are very much passionate in spiritual mentoring. If you need a spiritual director, someone to accompany you in the faith, you will be able to have new friends. So ini-encourage po namin kayo to join us. We will be releasing registration links. Libre po ito, no? But we want registration so I can anticipate ilan ang pupunta sa kumpisal, no? Para maayos natin yung sequence nila. So because I believe, Father Kayo, you will be the only priest to hear confession. Not unless, no? May nanonood sa ating pare. And he will volunteer to hear confessions with you, Father Kayo. That's possible po, ano?
Yeah.
Pwede naman. It'll
be good, yeah. Yes.
Yes, no? So sa mga pari po, mga deacons, seminarians, because we have these in our audience. And if, especially, lahat po tayo, no? Dalhin po natin yung pamilya natin. This will be open to the public. We are excited to post details very soon. Original plan ito is we will meet somewhere else, no, where we can have a program. But since we are going to meet in a chapel, we're going to see how we can have a short get-together after. No? Yes. So we'll see, parang meet and greet. Kung di pa natin siya magagawa doon sa venue, marami naman po tayong pwede putahan. May perya po ngayon sa Riverbanks. So pwede tayong pumunta at bumisita sa perya. Merong mga kainan doon. No? We can just hang out and meet those people who are part of our Unboxing Catholicism community. Online now, magiging offline. Ayan. So, Father Kayo, no, we have a question. And this is an important question from one of our viewers. Sabi niya, Father, ano po talaga itatawag kay Jesus? Papa po ba o kuya? And this is important even in the family na marinig natin, Papa Jesus. No, so, what's the real deal about this, Father Kayo?
Yeah. Well, you know, let me tell you a nice story because many years ago, when I was still in the Sampaloc area in a Center Focus Day there, I went to the Sari-Sari store in the corner to buy something. And then the tindera had a baby in her arms. And then when the baby saw me, she said, Papa Jesus. So I think that it doesn't matter whether Christ is called Papa Jesus or Kuya, because it's more on our part, because the way we see him, the way we deal with him, if one feels more comfortable with calling him or treating him as Papa Jesus, no problem. If you want to call him Kuya, no problem either. So it's more on how it affects our own personal piety. No? Although, okay. I mean, if one were to be strictly theological about it, obviously God is the Father, Jesus is the Son, and then you have the Holy Spirit. But, I mean, in popular piety, it doesn't really matter because it's the same God anyway. Whether we treat him as Papa or we treat him as Kuya, it's the same Jesus Christ.
Okay, that's an enlightenment for me because when I converted back to the Catholic faith, Father Cayo, I've been telling my mom, stop calling Jesus Papa. Siyempre, out of habit, Father, she grew up in the Philippines. Of course, all of us. Papa Jesus talaga. And then I was trying to square it in my head. No, how come Papa si Jesus kung God the Father and God the Son? But then, he also said that I and the Father are one, no? So it makes sense. Bukang pwede nga. So thank you for the clarification.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you, John, for that question. Ito yung mga Voltaire, ito yung mga bagay na gusto mong itanong na nakakalimutan mo minsan eh. No? So thank you for bringing it.
Nahihiya ka kasi feeling mo parang ambabaw naman ang tanong ko. But like Father said, it's all about piety. If it's affecting your piety, then best to clear it up so that your relationship with Jesus is not distracted.
Yeah.
No?
That's right.
Yes.
Ang tanong ko lang kay Father Cayo. Father Cayo, pagka po ba may nag-request ng confession sa Ferris wheel, papayag po ba kayo?
Kasi kami ferry sa riverbanks.
Kasi wala ko masyado mabilis yung Ferris wheel.
I didn't see that coming.
Joke lang po.
Oh, pero may tanong talaga ako tungkol sa confession, Father Cayo. No? Of course, we want Christ to reign in our hearts, no? We have, well, ako minsan, marami akong hugot sa kumpisal pagdating sa parokya. Because I have this impression, and I may be completely wrong about this, na sometimes yung pagtrato natin sa kumpisal sa parokya nagiging legalistic or routine. No, I remember asking a priest before, after Mass, no? I needed confession at that time, a long time ago. And then I asked him, Father, can I go to confession? Ang sabi sa akin ng pare, Friday pa ang schedule ng kumpisal, Tuesday pa lang. No? So, yun ang banggit sa akin ni Father. Sabi ko, Father, mabilis lang po, hindi po pwede. Alam mo kasi, iho, pagka pinayagan kita, sunod-sunod na yun, maraming pupunta. In my mind, I was thinking, hindi ba't mas magandang maraming nagpupunta sa kumpisal? No? Bakit kaya nagiging legalist? I understand, no? Maraming ginagawa yung mga tao sa parokya.
Yeah.
Mayroon silang mga kanya-kanyang duties and we have to put some order. Pero ang tanong ko kaya, of course, you and Vault Father cannot answer for this. I might be at the verge of venting out, but what can be a charitable way to deal with this? No? Kasi this is my personal experience. Eh. After turning me down for confessions, I spend more time in prayer. Nakita ko si Father nakikipagtsikahan dun sa mga choir. And then he spent a good 15 minutes there and I was like, Friday yung confession, no? Pero he's just there. He could have heard the confession already of me or many others. So, of course, we have to pray a lot for our priest. But I have this thinking that, what are your thoughts on that, Father Cayo? And how can we charitably
No, unfortunately, that does happen. I've had several self-feedback from different people also about that. No? But at the same time also, I mean, I know that there are some priests who do spend time in the confessional. No? I mean, in the parishes, for example, like 2 weeks ago, I preached a recollection for the diocesan priests in St. John Paul II parish there in Eastwood. No? Mm-hmm. And well, the parish priest there, Father Ari Sison, was telling me that they have confessions there always after the Mass, regularly, every Mass, not just simply every day, but every Mass. That way, if people want to go, then they can go. So there are priests like that. They really do spend time with the confession. Of course, not to mention Stella Orientis Oratory, the chapel of UAN, the University of Asia and the Pacific, where we have the priest spends several hours, no, not just in the minutes, hearing confessions of people, no, in different shifts. No? So, let's pray that there are more and more who really see the sacrament of confession as a very important means for reconciliation and for spiritual growth. I attended the National Retreat for Clergy in Cebu last November 7 to 9. It was a very nice experience because I never expected that Sister Bridge McKenna, who was the one of the principal speakers, and Father Pablo Escriva de Romani, who's not related to Saint Jose Maria Escriva. In fact, he was one of our priests, asked him that, and then he said, "Ano, Saint Jose Maria is a saint, I am a sinner." Yeah, that was his reply. But you know, at one point in their conferences, in their talks, they were encouraging the priests to go to confession.
How beautiful.
And really, talagang paulit-ulit, no? Yung paulit-ulit, not just so forth, because if they go to confession, that means that they value the sacrament of confession, and in turn, they hear confession. So, but paulit-ulit yan. I was really amazed. I said, oh, this is terrific. Back to the basics, no? She was in read, and even Father Paolo, so, you know, if he was saying at one point, if you're ashamed to go to confession, you go to confession to me. Anyway, I'm going to leave after this national retreat. So not talking about it. So but that's good. That I like that. That they were really encouraging confession.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Yes, Father. Yeah, vote.
No, that's beautiful. But I also encourage, no, and challenge actually, no, our unboxers. Let's pray for our priests.
Exactly.
No?
Yeah, right.
A lot of times we complain about our priests, no, regardless of whatever shortcomings they have. But let's remember they're also humans like us in need of God's grace. And I always tell this to people and to myself, no, we get the priest that we deserve. Meaning if we don't care about our priest, then how can we complain about our priest, no? Maybe you can ask yourself, when was the last time you prayed for your priest? Amen. No? If it's been a long time, it might be good to start praying regularly for your priest. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a really big help, no, for them and for you as well.
Right.
That's right.
And I think
it's true.
Yeah, that's how we can make Christ reign in our hearts also.
Yeah,
so right. When we experience things like this, no, we have to, okay. To be honest with you, I must confess, no, talagang na-confuse ako kay Father nung time na yun. And I was like, do I write the bishop about this? No, but I've been suspending it for a long time, discerning. I'm like, okay, perhaps I had to give him the benefit of the doubt. Perhaps he was having a bad day. He just wanted, you know, I don't know what.
Yeah.
I couldn't really read into the intention of, I cannot judge. I don't want to judge. But of course, you felt bad about that. But the most charitable way to deal with it is to just pray, because we don't know what's happening in his heart. And I'm thinking, baka yung formation sa seminary, hindi nabigyan ng ganong kalalim na focus ang kumpisal. No? So we also pray for the seminarians. We pray for the formation of all the Catholics who are called to ministry. And all of us. Hindi lang, okay, we have to carry push the cart, no, so to speak, or pull the cart in one direction towards the heart of Christ the King. Yeah. Beautiful, Father. And ako, I have one more question. Unboxing Catholicism, I've announced this. I don't know, Jake, Volt, kung narinig mo to sa isang episode with Jay before. I felt like the Lord is trying to let us discern how we can promote Eucharistic adoration or Eucharistic revival of some sort. In the U.S., they have this Eucharistic revival sanctioned by the Bishops' Conference. In the Philippines, we don't have that.
Yeah.
But when I was, Father, when I attended some activities of U.S. Catholics in World Youth Day, Bishop Barron was there. The Eucharistic revival is super alive. And I feel like Unboxing Catholicism is being called to promote something within our own sphere of influence. No? With our
Reach
natin. No? What are your practical suggestions on how we can do this better in 2024 to bring people to the Eucharistic heart of Christ the King?
Yeah. Well, there can be several things. No? I would say both online as well as live. No? On the one hand, it may be possible to organize or to promote, let's say, Eucharistic vigils. Of course, you know, it may be difficult to get everybody together in one particular place. But why not the following? Let's say a group of unboxers who are in a particular area why not make it say you agree, you know? Or let's go to the Blessed Sacrament Chapel and spend a certain number of either minutes or hours or whatever, no? Bahala na kayo there,
right,
as a group. So siguro kayo-kayo lang, no? So imagine you know, like if you've heard of terrorist cells, no? So maybe this would be like a good type of terrorist cell, no? That all of those in a particular area gather there and then spend time adoring Jesus, no? Either together or taking shifts. Because if we say, well, you go to this particular chapel, all of you, of course, you know, the realistically, people have to travel, maybe they'll have to spend for transportation. But then, if you're in a particular area, then, you know, you talk among yourselves. And then, of course, it might be good to keep tabs on this also, because if people get to know about it, they might want to join. They might want to join that that little group there, adoring our Lord. And then there can be, let's say, online, I mean, a regular catechetical talk on the Eucharist and what the Eucharist means. No? And there's one interesting idea that, aside from the doctrine in relation to the Eucharist, or let's say teachings of saints on Eucharistic piety, the exploring the idea of living Eucharistic lives. See, this is an idea that actually Santa Maria used to talk about a lot, Eucharistic life. So in other words, from the Eucharist itself, drawing consequences for actual life, such that life is actually Eucharistic, not just merely I go to Mass, I go to communion as some sort of ritual. Of course, I mean, I might consider it a source of strength and for my life. But then all of that is supposed to be for living your life very closely united to the Eucharist with the different elements, which means sacrifice, offering, adoration, atonement, different themes in relation to the Eucharist sacrifice. That could be another thing, elaborating on what the Eucharistic life means. These are just what come to mind now. Maybe, although this one, for example, you know, in hospitals, most of the rooms have TVs, no? And in the hospitals with chapels, they usually dedicate one channel to a live view of the Blessed Sacrament in the chapel, so that if the patient wants to, can just have that as there, no? Instead of watching Korean novela, telenovelas. Because I've seen this. When I used to visit one of our priests who was sick, terminally ill, no? in the hospital, he had the TV just there on that particular channel, the Blessed Sacrament focus, no? And to help him pray all the time. So I don't know, maybe in some sessions or in some way, if that could also be another thing, to have, let's say, a focus on the Blessed Sacrament Chapel that is streaming live, and then maybe spend some time in prayer with some readings, maybe from somebody who it's as if you cannot go physically because you are limited for some reason. There was I'm thinking about the people who are in the Middle East, no?
Right.
When can they go to a church? It might not be very feasible for them to go because of the limitations, but they can be helped to live piety, the Eucharist piety online, with that at least virtual streaming, but then at the same time with inspirational or spiritual phrases related to the Eucharist.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for those practical ideas. I think these are doable, mm-hmm. Voltaire, no? We can discuss further with our group. Yeah. But I remember before 2023 started, I was convening you guys, and then we were talking about where to bring UC for this year, and we discerned that we have to unbox the Bible, and we did from January up until December. Tinapos natin, Father Kayo, from Genesis up until Revelation. Now, everyone can really listen to the Bible, the Catholic Bible study that we've done. And I've been thinking about it. No, we have to do something for the Eucharist in 2024. So that's, I'm openly sharing this so that all of us, no, in the group can discern and, you know, help one another. And we will surely update you kung ano po yung mga activities na gagawin natin, whether online or on-site. But on our own, no, when we can go to the Adoration Chapel, spend some time there, and also ask the Lord, Lord, how do you want me with whatever work that I'm doing, whatever circumstances I am in, to really promote Eucharistic adoration. No? So, lahat po tayo kasi kaya natin yan. Eh, no? We have our own spheres of influence. Volt, anything you want to add before we wrap up
the show? We still have a few minutes. May pahabol akong very short. Ano lang, no? Kasi I'm sure a lot of our unboxers probably are hearing Eucharistic adoration for the first time. No?
Right.
Maybe they saw the Adoration Chapel in their parishes, and they're wondering, ano ba yung gagawin dyan? What do we do? Pag pumasok dyan, ako, nakikita ko yung iba may mga hawak, yung iba nag-rosario, yung iba kahit lang. What do they do? For the uninitiated, no, what we mean by Eucharistic adoration is the Eucharist exposed. But what do we do, Father Cayo? Maybe our unboxers are asking that. What is Eucharistic adoration for them?
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, it could take on different formats, no? For example, like the usual, I mean, the general Eucharistic adoration would consist of, in fact, this is the format followed in the National Retreat for the Clergy, because in the morning after the first conference and the break, there before the Mass, there was a period of Eucharistic adoration, something like 30 minutes, no? So the Blessed Sacrament is exposed. And then prayers are prayed with hymns. And then there is a reading from Scripture. It can be directly connected to the Eucharist, or it could be any reading, very brief reading. And then afterwards, maybe a hymn can be sung, and then silence. So what do you do during that period of silence? Well, then there's a lot of freedom. No? The fact of adoration is being there in front of our Lord. Now, either a person can just simply remain silent and just simply, you know, gaze at our Lord, allow inspiration to come in depending on whatever the Holy Spirit may want to tell you. Others may feel more comfortable maybe reflecting on some readings. No? They read for a little while and then they reflect on that in the presence of our Lord in the Eucharist. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying the rosary. That can be done also if you want to pray the rosary, because it is also a way of adoring the Eucharist. Since the rosary is directed also to Jesus. So it can be very varied. The important thing is that I'm here before Jesus. I'm just there. I spend time in front of Him.
Thank you so much, Father Cayo. So many things to
unpack. We're rushing around.
Yes, amen. And many things to do, but again, we want to reiterate, we want to see you in person. So on December 8 to p.m., look at the details there. We'll be posting more stuff, registration forms, etc., reminders, unboxing Catholicism, Advent activity, confession, recollection, and Mass. No, the most important trio to prepare for Advent and Christmas. Queen of Angels Chapel, Riverbank Mall, Marikina City on December 8th, Holy Day of Obligation. We are inviting you to spend more time with the Lord and with us. Marami pong salamat sa lahat ng mga sumubaybay at nakisama sa ating programa ngayong gabi with Father Cayo Estrada. Last na lang, no, Volt, basahin natin itong pagbati ni Jen Tomas at mensahe. I can understand the burden of the priests in hearing confession, but they should really be available. Let's pray for the availability of the existing priests, and let's pray for more priests. Ayan. Sabi ni Mona, Papa Jesus makes me uncomfortable, but in his several apparitions, Jesus said to Saint Faustina, my daughter, I therefore persuaded myself that it's okay. Oh, yeah. Hindi ko alam to. No? So, okay, thank you. I'm also now persuaded. I will not be very rigid about that anymore. Thank you so much. You're seeing a changing of heart live on Unboxing Catholicism. Okay. Ayan. Greetings from UAE. Mona, sana nakita tayo nung nasa UAE ako. O baka nakita tayo sa feast, no? Can you remind me? And she will email me daw. So, you can email us at burns at unboxingcatholicism.com. At kung ito po ang unang beses ninyo na sumama sa Unboxing Catholicism, I invite you to download the free ebook on 10 tips on defending the faith clearly without being preachy. Get it at www.unboxingcatholicism.com/starterguide. Ayan, maraming salamat, Father Cayo. Voltaire, anything new from the noisy sheep that you want to share?
No, I've been quite quiet for the recent days, no, because of my sickness, but I'll catch up now. Thanks for those who prayed for me.
We will continue praying for you. And last thing, no, I ask for your prayers also. Today, I launch a new podcast. It's called The Plan. Ito naman pong podcast na to, ang focus niyan is stewardship, no? So I will give weekly insights on Catholic methods and inspiration on building, growing, and protecting our wealth. So this is for financial formation, no? Very practical para sa ating mga Katoliko within 10 to 15 minutes per episode. The objective is to help you master your money without losing your soul. So search po sa Spotify, may video format din po yan. The Plan Podcast with Burns Ocasi. Marami pong salamat, and now we request Father Cayo for his priestly blessing.
Yes, okay. Dear Lord, we thank you for this meditation and all of this exchange that we have just had. We pray for all of those who have been listening and who have been participating. We pray for their families. We also ask you to help them in their concerns. Whatever difficulties they may be going through, may they offer that up, united to Jesus Christ in his sufferings. And on this feast of Christ the King, let us ask Jesus to reign over our hearts so that we can offer up our entire selves and the effort we try to reach out to others to Jesus, bringing all men back to him. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Cayo Estrada. And that's a wrap for our guided.
Thank you to everyone also.
Right. That's a wrap for our guided prayer and short get-together with our spiritual director and Unboxing Catholicism, Father Cayo Estrada. Once again, this is Burns together with Voltaire. We'll see you next week in our live episode, and we'll see you in person in our Advent activity. Yes. Bye, everyone. God bless you all. Hey, guys. I know nabitin na naman kayo sa ating episode ngayon. Don't worry. We would be right back here in Unboxing Catholicism. And if it is your first time listening to our podcast, I invite you to download the free ebook that has the 10 tips on how to defend the faith clearly without being preachy. Get it from www.unboxingcatholicism.com/starterguide. Until then, annyeong!